The Stories We Don't See. What four books reveal about homelessness, context, and durable happiness? Scenes of human suffering in downtown Seattle and in San Francisco's Tenderloin confront us with uncomfortable realities. In specific areas like 3rd and Pike, 3rd and Pine, or Pioneer Square, we encounter people in visible distress. Individuals slumped on sidewalks. Open drug use. Raw human struggle. San Francisco's Tenderloin feels like that experience expanded. Not just a corner. Not a small cluster of blocks. But an entire neighborhood where that level of suffering stretches continuously for blocks. For many of us, the instinct is simple. We look away. But what if the deeper problem isn't what we're seeing, but what we're failing to see altogether? When we encounter homelessness, our minds move quickly, often without our awareness. We tell ourselves simple stories. They made bad choices. They're irresponsible. They're different from me. Psychologists call this the fundamental attribution error. Our tendency to explain other people's circumstances by who they are, rather than what happened to them. This mental shortcut makes it easier to create distance. We strip away history. Circumstances fade. The complex web of causes shrinks. And what's left feels easier to judge and easier to ignore. Kevin Fagan's book, The Lost and the Found, quietly challenges these oversimplified narratives. Fagan has spent decades reporting on homelessness in San Francisco's Tenderloin. He doesn't parachute in for quick stories. He stays. He watches lives unfold over years, sometimes decades. What emerges isn't a morality tale. It's a web. Mental illness, childhood trauma, brain injuries, addiction, rising housing costs, and missed opportunities for intervention. The power of Fagan's work isn't argument, it's patience. He lets readers stay with people long enough that assumptions begin to dissolve on their own. Not every story ends well. Many don't. And that's precisely the point. The path to homelessness often begins long before someone reaches the street. That reality is made clear in Made, Stephanie Land's memoir. Land shows how many working housed people live precariously close to collapse. One missed paycheck, one abusive relationship, one delayed benefit. She shared her story as a keynote speaker at a HopeLink fundraising event. And hearing her speak made something unmistakably clear. This was not a story about weakness or lack of effort. When Made is read alongside The Lost and Found, these narratives no longer feel separate. They feel connected, not different stories, but consecutive chapters. Another lens deepens this understanding. In Skid Road, nurse and scholar Josephine Ensign examines homelessness through a public health lens, grounded in Seattle. Her work shows how trauma, illness, and addiction often precede homelessness, but accelerate once housing is lost. The street doesn't usually create the original damage. It amplifies it. Health deteriorates, stability erodes, and the path back becomes harder with time. A different kind of evidence leads to the same conclusion. In Homelessness is a Housing Problem, researchers Greg Colburn and Clayton Page Aldern analyze homelessness across regions using data. Their finding is clear and uncomfortable. High homelessness rates track housing costs, not personal failure. When personal stories, health outcomes, and statistical evidence all point in the same direction, it demands our attention. Homelessness is not a collection of individual failings. It is a systemic crisis. The lost and the found offers a subtle but essential insight. Individual acts of compassion matter, even when we can't see their ultimate impact. Addressing homelessness doesn't require guaranteed success in every interaction. It requires sustained engagement and a willingness to act with clarity and compassion, even amid uncertainty. Understanding doesn't solve homelessness, but it changes how we respond. Over time, through these books and a shift in 2018 that pulled me from tech into nonprofit work, something became clear. Behavioral science tells us we're most motivated to help when outcomes are visible and success feels guaranteed. When problems feel large and uncertain, our instinct is to disengage. Psychologists sometimes call this compassion fade. But these stories suggest something counterintuitive. Small, humane acts don't lose their value just because they don't scale. Durable happiness doesn't come from fixing everything. It comes from acting with clarity and compassion without demanding certainty or personal benefit. That detachment, doing good without needing to see the result, may be what allows compassion to endure. Understanding doesn't solve homelessness, but it keeps us from turning away. And sometimes that choice to stay present rather than look away is the most important one we make.